It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday ahead of Wild Card Weekend. I know Jerry's going to play it a little bit later, but did you happen to come across, and I'm not going to do the whole conversation here because I want to do it with Jerry, but did you happen to see the Spike Eskin Sean Landetta?
Of course.
Thing?
I love Sean Landetta.
So that is a...
I do. He's a unique and quirky character. But when he gets something in his mind and gets mad,
yeah,
boom!
So that's a tease for a little bit later this morning, the audio, the fight between Spike Eskin and Sean Landetta about shaving your balls.
I mean...
Who would have thought?
Don't we have commercials? What are the commercials? The
Manscaped.
Manscapes, yes.
Yeah, that stuff, 100%. Yes.
Yeah, we all have Manscaped.
You have to. I mean, come on. You can't
especially
be.
Especially as you get older.
Yeah.
I mean, and Sean's my age.
You can't be letting that thing grow down there. You got to take care of it. Not only. Manscaped, a big sponsor of Joe Beningo's Oh the Pain podcast.
Yes.
And we have that great audio. Not only do I have no hair down there, but it made my penis look bigger. My penis.
Oh, I can't even imagine what that looks like.
Oh, God. All right. I'm not gonna imagine it anymore, even though I just did in my mind.
I had a teammate once who just said, as he was getting older, I mean, he was in his 30s, right? We're all in our 20s.
Yeah. Okay. So he's getting older.
Right. And his sack was all the way down to the floor when he was sitting down on a it was a weird kind of, like, that's the thing about a locker room. You see a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
You just see things like you'd never think that you would ever see in your life.
Yeah. And that was when I started playing football in high school and then, It just, we weren't doing like the showers and the naked stuff as much. I don't think the kids do that as much anymore.
We did it.
Yeah, right.
We showered.
Yeah, but like Roscona, we didn't shower. We played. So for people who don't know, Brian and I played high school football together at Bellport.
Not a soul showered.
Right.
That's
nobody
why you guys
used those showers.
You'd go home and you shower.
Yeah, exactly.
We wouldn't get naked in front of everybody else.
No way. And if you did, you were looked at weird.
Oh, yeah. He's like, look at
but nobody
city.
Did. So.
Yeah.
Our team showered.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you, there was like a line of demarcation there where people are like, we're just not doing this anymore. And that's when like you could tell, like if you go to a gym locker room somewhere or a country. No. That's not what I was going to say. Or a country club locker room. You'll see a certain age that will just let it fly. And then there'll be an age where they're more careful about it. Like someone will have like a towel around, But the older guys, like you get that 70-year-old guy just came back from playing nine
at
the country club. He'll let those old balls hang in front of everybody and not give a crap.
He doesn't care.
But you get it someone in their 30s, there's no way.
And by the way, a lot of golf clubs have the best showers in the country.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, with the water pressure.
The Friarhead showers are like a 10.
Yeah, Deepdale.
Not actually like a plus 100, actually.
Yeah, well, I have not experienced that one. The Deepdale one, though, pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one, too, yeah. Especially the one in the back corner.
Yeah, that was the one I was told to use.
Yes.
Yeah, and I used it.
And you drowned.
I did. So we played there. You're like, you gotta take a shower. You got to make sure you experience this. And then you got in there before me. And I actually heard those noises coming out of your shower because you were drowning in it.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God.
That's part of the experience, man. I hate to say it. It sounds bougie. You're not going to do that at West Sayville, but that is part of the experience when you get to go to some of these really nicer places.
Oh, of course. But yes.
But you could always tell, like, when I used to play hockey at Sky Rink down here at Chelsea Pierce.
Sure.
That locker room was awful.
Yeah, hockey locker rooms.
Because guys there would rent lockers and they would play once or twice a week and they leave their stuff after they're done. And you go into that locker room, it is god-awful.
There's something about a hockey locker room that just smells worse than any other locker room.
Because all of the pads that you're wearing and all the pads you leave in your locker.
Yeah, it just stunk. Like, I remember going into... When the Penguins, I'd go into the Penguins locker room after games when I was in Pittsburgh. It was the worst foul-smelling place on earth. Just so bad. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Just guys being guys playing hockey, guys sweating,
guys
doing man stuff.
I mean, when we had that softball game at Yankee Stadium, I noticed our crew just kind of dressed and got out of there.
Yeah, you were the only nude one. Oh, and the other...
Athletes.
Athletes, exactly.
Yeah, see, but I mean...
That's what we do. We're nude in locker rooms, and we're, you know, just sitting there, wiping it up and talking and shooting the, you know what?
That's you know what
it is, man. That's what men do, Al.
I actually have a core memory of an old guy getting undressed in front of me in a gym locker room. Like this, I remember even exactly what he said. So, like, I joined a gym right out of high school, and I went there, and I remember seeing a guy that was friends with my dad. Right?
So that's a tough one.
So I start talking to him.
That's
a
tough one.
And I just because I told you like we didn't shower, we didn't see each other's penis and balls, we just didn't do it. So he's talking to me. And I remember still, all these years ago, I might have been 19 years old. I remember.
Scarred.
He pulls down his pants. He goes, after I go to the gym, I end up eating more. So it's kind of counterproductive. And I just remember him saying counterproductive with the thing hanging in front of me. And I was like, why? What are we doing?
I
had to pretend it was normal.
When he said it was counterproductive, did it shake?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Like I could pick that penis and balls out of a lineup today. That's how much it scarred me. I remember so vividly. Man,
you definitely were scarred. Definitely.
I mean, it pops in my head anytime I go into a locker room now. You know, it's kind of counterproductive.
Here's my Toshi.
Just hanging there.
That would be tough. You know, running in, like if I ran into like either Gunnar or Sydney's friends from high school or something at a gym and we were in there and I took my clothes off, I would feel weird.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy.
I can imagine how they would feel and how uncomfortable they would feel.
Yeah. Wonder if that guy's still around and listening to this right now, knowing that the
You were 19. How old was he?
Probably at that time, I would say 50s.
Nah, he's dead. Hey, Johnny and Wontall, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm not one to try to make some meatballs here, but I just got to address something with Boomer. Yesterday, you guys were talking about the... Dan Girardi, David Wright number.
Yeah.
And who was better.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Marash was supposed to text Boomer. He never did because he said Boomer kind of nicked on the deal to take him to a hockey game. Is this true, Boomer?
I actually gave him a choice to go to a game with me. But, I said I would consider it.
But he was basically saying I wouldn't text him because my daddy didn't take me to the game. So I didn't want to get him back.
There is something, Johnny, I got to believe you. Believe me, I do kind of own a Ranger game. I do. I just don't want to go with him.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the deal, though, with the Boomer and Geo Live, that you were going to take him.
I was, but, you know...
You'd have a good time with him.
Yeah, I know, but the problem is that the two games I went to, we've lost like 11-1.
Oh, so one of those superstitions.
Combined 11-1, and I don't want to go anywhere near that building right now, because when I go in there, they suck.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I would go with Sean, and I would try to reverse that. They're playing better hockey, and I would not be that superstitious. And I understand hockey players, hockey fans are as superstitious as any. I would try to reverse it. And I mean, he kind of was. He has stepped up for us every Boomer in Geo.
All right, okay. I'll take him. I promise you, I'll take him.
All right.
I promise you.
All right. I appreciate that. What do we got here? Matt in Staten Island. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
All right. How you doing, Matty?
All right, so, you know, this conversation about the old balls and everything really screwed me up this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to you guys, and I had a flashback to when I was about 12 years old. My grandfather was a really good paddleball player, and he used to play at the McBurney YMCA in Manhattan near the Flatiron Building. So every now and then, my grandfather would take me and my cousin, we'd go in, we'd play paddleball. So there's one particular day we'd go in, and my grandfather had a game set up, and he was playing against Al Pacino. So at the time, I really didn't know who Al Pacino was. I didn't see The Godfather or anything yet. You know, but they play the game and everything, and then we play a little bit with them. And then we all go back into the locker room, and Al Pacino and my grandfather, they just, like, strip down and get in the showers. And me and my cousin are standing there horrified. I was, like, 12. He was, like, 9. And we're like, what is going on here? And it was the most awful moment that I could remember. And it was just the worst thing I could remember. And then subsequently, after that, every time we went to play paddleball, my grandfather at the YMCA, me and my cousin, we would bring bathing suits. So after the paddleball match, at least we were covered up, and we just would, like, face the wall, shallow, quick, and then run the hell out of there.
Unzip my pants and take it out.
When you see Al Pacino on TV or in a movie, do you picture his balls in your head?
I try not to, but, you know, every now and then, like, I don't know, the one he did with Keanu Reeves, the Devil's Advocate or whatever it was, that was the first time I had the real bad flashback. I think I had PTSD from this, but I don't want to get into that.
You know what, Matt, and I believe you because I do as well. I have that same thing from when I was younger where it was shocking to me.
What was the word he said?
He said counterproductive.
Counterproductive.
He goes, you know, I go to the gym, but then I end up eating more, so it's sort of counterproductive. Yep. The thing hanging. Yeah, that is a great story. See, it's too bad that is a bad core memory for Matt from Staten Island. Because, like, seeing Al Pacino's balls, and those balls, by the way, just produced another child.
Yes, you're right.
At like 80 years old. And those are some special balls he got to gander.
All right, so that is his, you know, run-in with a celebrity. So Al Dukes at Yankee Stadium, you had a run-in with a number of celebrities. Were there any sticks and berries that you either were blown away by or
no,
did
the
you
only
check
ones
anything out?
I recall are your sticks and berries, and then I was like, I got to get out of here. Because I think Carton was also going to shower because I think he didn't want to feel like he wasn't manly, and I was like, that I definitely can't see.
See, I can't. I will
especially
not
with
cave.
His little calves and big thighs.
Yeah.
I could not be pressured into showering like that. There's no way.
I didn't know if you knew this, but Carton has like cricket legs.
Yes, of course. I've heard and I've seen.
Yes.
Yep, without a doubt.
He supposedly leg pressed 900 pounds or something. What was that?
Yeah, I thought it was like 600 to 700 pounds. It kept increasing every time the story was told.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the balls will scare you, man. The balls will scare you. They will scare you. And it's amazing. Well, all of us have a story. Al saw yours. I saw this guy in the locker room. Matt in Staten Island saw Al Pacino's balls. You know, I mean, it is... It'll sear your brain.
I just think the older a guy gets, the less he gives a crap. That's what I think. I don't know what
about everything or just about exposing your balls?
I mean, if you're in the locker room.
Oh, okay.
Like if you're in the men's locker room and you've just worked out, played paddle ball, played golf or whatever, you know, it's just like walk into the shower totally nude and let's go.
Let's go to Anthony in Belleville on this Feel Good Football Friday. What's going on, Anthony?
Orange Geo, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Anthony, what do you got today?
Hey, this is quite the topic. But who, after Yankee Stadium, who's showering after that? You can't wait an hour to get home and shower? I mean, it's a little bizarre.
I mean, we're playing a game, we're sweating, everybody's not
come good. On.
Come on, what do you mean, come on?
What time are you, this was in the...
This is in the fall. This is a different game. This is the NYPD honorary game where we were honoring those three unfortunate police officers that died and two were assassinated. Mm. That's a different story. Like, we didn't see Rex Ryan and Chris
softball.
Christie. We didn't see Chris Christie in the shower.
Come on, though. You're playing softball for now. How much are you possibly
sweating?
That
is different. I'm not talking about this particular game right here. And by the way, Chris Christie was a hell of a third baseman for us.
Was he?
Yeah, he made a couple plays.
And he actually played third. He played third base. He wasn't third base?
No.
Okay.
He could play.
Everybody check for Chris Christie's junk or no?
Or no.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
Or no. Anthony Bell.
He could play.
Or no. Oh, man.
He loves baseball, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw him sitting next to Steve Cohen. By the way, Steve Cohen involved in that TGL, Tomorrow's Golf League,
yes.
With Tiger and Rory.
Yeah,
he was at there. They put him on the screen a couple times.
Of course he is. He's got money to burn, man.
Well,
but he ain't spending money without making money, that's for sure.
I'm sure he's made many, many investments. And it was good to see him there. It seemed like he was enjoying himself. By the way, did you see the Bryson DeChambeau stuff from yesterday? Just awesome. The video that he put out?
I did not see that.
All right, I'll bring that up a little bit later.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Feel Good Football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Wild card weekend coming up. You had a college football playoff great game to start these five straight nights or five straight days of playoff football. We got into locker room and guys who get completely naked in the locker room and not. There's one call here I want to take before we just move on from that for the rest of the day, because this is an interesting one. I had a guy call up earlier, if you're just joining us, who saw Al Pacino's balls when he was 13 years old after playing racquetball or paddleball at a gym with his grandfather. So we'll go to Rich in Cherry Hill. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
What's up, man? What do you got for us?
So two things. So humble brag here. Boomer. Maybe not Geo, but Pine Valley, hands down, best showers in the world.
All right.
Humble brag.
I would put Friar's Head. I would put Friar's Head up against those.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Have you ever been to Friar's Head?
This goes back.
Have you ever showered at Friar's Head?
I have not, but I mean, I have not. But listen, if you have an open invitation for me, I'm down for it.
I don't. But anyway, I'll put those showers up against anyone in the world, by the way.
All right. Okay. All right. So secondly, I'm going back 25 years now. I'm sitting in the, long story short, sitting in the steam room. Two guys walk in, right? We get to talking. I get invited to a show down here at the Tweeter Center out here in Camden. This is, again, 25 years ago. And the guy invites me to the show. And I'm like, listen, dude, I got a girlfriend. I'm going to dinner tonight. Can't make it, whatever. So again, long story short, I walk out of the steam room. I'm sitting on the bench. This guy walks out. Second guy's got a big afro, and the other guy looks like Lenny Kravitz, and it is. First thing I did, I will never look at this guy the same. My eyes directly went down, and literally, he was down to his shin.
Yeah, that's like an urban legend about the Lenny Kravitz penis.
Well, this guy's confirming it.
Yeah, man. So
I've seen it. I've seen it.
Rich, good call, man. He's seen the Lenny Kravitz penis. Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah, these things will scar you. They definitely will. They'll stick with you for forever. So starts with the Pine Valley showers, ends with the Lenny Kravitz penis. That is a run the gamut type of phone call. Here on The Fan. All right, Jerry is back with us. What's up, Jerry?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us, since we're talking about locker room nakedness. This was the Spike Eskin stuff from WIP. Packers play the Eagles, of course, on Sunday, as we know. And I guess there was this story, as Spike will tell you on WIP, as he brought Sean Landetta on to either deny or confirm. And Landetta, at least in the beginning, doesn't seem like he appreciated the phone call.
Freddie Mitchell was on the morning show today, and he mentioned that you and John Ritchie were often in the sauna together. But Freddie Mitchell mentioned that, how do I put this, that you would groom your under regions in the sauna.
Now, my first thing is,
yep.
You want to call me during primetime radio in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And talk to me about something like that. Are you kidding me?
So you're listening and you're like, oh, this is going to get good.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't. Because then he actually goes on and answers the question.
I know this is TMZ radio. And I like Freddie, you know, good teammate and all. But what he said was absolutely false. I totally denied being in the sauna with John Ritchie. That never happened.
Oh, wow. Now, okay.
But
Beryl laughs at Sean Landetta, man. Let me tell you.
As he goes on, apparently there was a little bit of truth to it, at least could be.
May there have been a time where I was by myself and maybe had to shave a little bit. Okay, that's something maybe that goes on privately in a locker room. And there is a saying in the NFL that's supposed to go, what you see here and what you say here stays here and never leaves here.
But well, apparently in this case it did leave here, so...
Yeah, I mean, and then he kept going a little bit to the point where Spike was like, listen, Sean, I wasn't trying to offend you at all here. Like, I just...
we're just having fun.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, you're having fun, except for the guy that you're humiliating on the air.
Yeah.
Why would that be humiliating?
I don't know. Listen, we both like Sean Landetta.
Yes.
But in this instance, he came across curmudgeonly and like he doesn't want to have any fun and just have a couple laughs and whatever. And like he said, the Eagles got a playoff game. We're talking about shaving my balls or something. Like, yeah, that's what's happening.
Yeah, a lot of guys. Yes. We I don't know if they still do it these days, but back in the day, we used to have weigh-ins every week, and certain guys had certain weight that they had to make in order to receive a bonus. And, you know, we all would be sitting in the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the largest penis?
Right. There could be 8 guys sitting in the sauna.
Yeah.
Completely stark naked.
Yep. Trying to get that water weight out.
Exactly. And some guys were shaving, some guys weren't shaving. And then there was one guy that when he came in, you knew he was going to drop a bomb in there.
Come on.
And he cleaned out the whole thing.
Oh.
And that was just his thing. You know, he just come in. Hey, guys. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And sure enough,
1980s
he dropped
football.
The bomb and the bomb one. He dropped the Jesus. Bomb and the bomb one.
What do you think of Sean's reaction there? Like, I was surprised because
I wasn't. I'm not.
Really?
No.
I thought he would. He's been around radio long enough to, like, have
but
a
he, laugh I know, but that. He's a. I think he takes his life and his I would say his greatness on the football field very seriously. That's how I would put it.
Jerry?
No. Nothing.
Okay.
His greatness on the football field.
He was a great punter. Maybe the greatest punter in the NFL.
He was a fabulous punter.
The guy actually should be in the Hall of Fame. Ray Guy's in.
Well, you know maybe what? I think that this shaving the ball story is going to keep him out now. That's what
no,
I think. I think the humiliation. That
but again, who's fighting for a punter? If you ask Phil Sims, he'll tell you he thinks he's the greatest punter he's ever seen.
Greatest punter ever?
Well, when he was playing, and that's what
better counts. Than Ray Guy.
What was he like? He was a great punter. That's all I'm saying. Played a lot of games. Punted.
What
a
about
lot
Mitch
of
Berger?
Games.
Had a nice long career.
I like Reggie Roby. He had the watch on.
Yeah, Reggie Roby. Great one.
He did.
We
gotta
go. Come on. What was that? Wow, that one punter.
Jeff Fiegels was nasty.
Yes, he was great too.
Andy Lee. Was it Andy?
Was he for the 49ers,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, he was really good. For a while. Yeah.
No, they all kicked the ball a mile now.
And Boomer, you had that one guy, I think the only punter / wide receiver.
Yeah, Pat McAnally back in the day, yes. Went to Harvard.
He was a punter wide receiver.
And he was the guy, he was a punter wide receiver, and he was the guy that came up with the Kenner Toy starting lineups. And I was the first guy that was the starting line. He asked me, can I use your likeness as a starting lineup figurine? It's crazy.
How about that?
Yeah. I said, sure.
Let's go to Phil in Bayside. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, guys. Listen, I grew up next to Rocco Torre, who was Joe Torre's brother, and he used to take us to the Braves games. So I was like 10, 11 years old, and we're in the locker room. And Hank Aaron came over. How you doing, son? And now I know why they call him the Hammer.
Man, there's a lot of stuff out there, man. I'm telling you.
Pete Rose story with Mike.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Joe DiMaggio.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a man hanging from a penis. that was amazing this morning. So Al Pacino, Hank Aaron, and then Lenny Kravitz. Amazing. And Al saw yours.
And Al's got a Boomer story. By the way, speaking of former players, I saw your guy Anthony Munoz doing a commercial for frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
How about that? It's an arthritis cream. He's very good.
Yeah, well, he probably has arthritis for all the years he played.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a finger going on a right angle, so... I would imagine he's got some arthritis.
Yeah, it's like this. His finger's like that.
Just a good guess.
That doesn't show up in the commercial, no. Actually.
I haven't seen that commercial yet.
Yeah, he does a good job. All right, some serious stuff. All right, let me give you from college. I'll get back to the NFL. College football. Notre Dame beat Penn State at the Orange Bowl 27-24. The quarterback... for Notre Dame is Riley Leonard, who threw a game-tying 54-yard touchdown pass to Jaden Greathouse late in the fourth. I'll get to that in a moment. But Leonard, you know, they do these pieces, kind of get to know these guys a little bit. So on ESPN, they were doing this piece on Leonard, and he was talking about the special relationship he has with his mother.
My mom, before every football game, texts me, you suck.
That is amazing. Which is funny. So why does she do that?
Started in high school, I was tired of everybody telling me how good I was all the time. I needed somebody to, you know, tell me I suck every once in a while to give me some motivation.
Well, it certainly worked, and here she was explaining it.
It lets him know, as much as I'm telling him you suck, I'm also kind of telling him that I love you and I'm behind you and I'm supporting you.
But you suck. That's very funny.
I'll tell you what, he outplayed Drew Aller, and he made some big throws last night.
I'm going to play one for you right now.
Second and 8 for Leonard. Takes the shotgun snap. Looking right. Going to throw wide open. He's got Greathouse. Catches the 3. Cuts back in the 20. Jaden Greathouse is going to walk in to tie the game. What a throwing catch. 54 yards. Leonard to Greathouse.
And that was on Notre Dame.
Corner
radio.
Slip for the Penn State Nittany Lions. He slipped down and he was wide open, and Riley Leonard happened to be looking his way.
And it worked out. Christian Gray did pick off Aller with 33 seconds to go at the Penn State 42-yard line. It led to the game-winning field goal from Mitch Jeter. So they advanced to the national championship game on January 20th. They'll play the winner of tonight's game between Ohio State and Texas. All right, back to the NFL. And yes, we talked about it last hour. The NFL moving Monday night's game, Vikings-Rams from L.A. to Arizona because of what is going on with the wildfires in Los Angeles. Here's your guy, Sam Darnold, the Vikings quarterback, who certainly knows a thing or two about Southern California.
First and foremost, man, just want to give my thoughts and just for the people out in LA right now, dealing with the fire. Obviously, it's tough. Obviously, being from the area, knowing a couple people who've been affected. Just my thoughts go out to those people that are struggling through that.
And I believe they are heading to Arizona tomorrow, if not today, tomorrow. Are the Rams. The Chargers are in Houston, I believe, already after practicing yesterday. I think they flew out last night.
That was the plan B by Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, okay. So here was Harbaugh as they tried to get their work in despite what was really happening all around them, and it was pretty obvious what was going on.
Our guys did a great job improvising, adjust, and really we were able to get as close as we possibly could to what a normal practice would have been.
Under the circumstances.
I mean, it's got to be hard for him to talk about that given what has gone on around them.
Yeah, I know. It seems trivial. And Sean McVay, I heard his press conference, it was the same thing. Like, because this guy just spews football, and you put him in a situation like that, it was hard for him to talk about it as well.
Heart-wrenching for sure. Tomorrow night, you've got the Ravens and the Steelers. I think, if I heard in your open, you were talking about Arthur Smith and the idea of wanting to play Justin Fields. He was asked about if he's going to use him or not in this game. Here was the 20-second answer.
No, there's stone left unturned. It's what the playoffs is. I mean, like, whatever, you get through the drama, the ups and downs of the season, and however you shake it, you're in a single elimination tournament. I use that analogy. Let's burn the boats, because you got to win to stay in and win, survive in advance. And so we'll use everything at our disposal, assuming it's the appropriate thing to do.
I assume that's the clip you were referencing.
There was something else, but you don't have to dig for it.
Oh, it's hard to find.
Use the Tom Coughlin burn the boats issue.
Burn the boats.
Quote, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't Jerry Jones use that, too?
And circumcise the mosquito.
Yeah, then the mosquito burned the boats and sent him down the Mississippi.
Is he circumcising Mike?
I don't know what's going on. All I know is his contract is up. They're in this exclusive negotiating period, and I guess that's up on Sunday, I believe. So it's Friday. I'm not sure what the hell they're doing. Don't know. But the Raiders did fire Tom Telesco, their GM. Pete Carroll, who just interviewed with the Bears, will interview next in Vegas, as will Rob Saleh. And the agent for Tyreek Hill, Drew Rosenhaus, addressing the Hill situation in Miami.
I think at the end of the day, he's committed to this Dolphin football team. He had an excellent meeting with Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. I believe that Tyreek is a great asset to the Dolphins, and I think he's the least guy that people should be worried about for this organization.
That was on the
wow. I'll tell you what, he's open for the Dolphins until the fourth quarter came around against the Jets on Sunday, I'm sure that he has had some other issues in terms of being late to meetings and things of that nature. Things that Mike McDaniel he was alluding to in his final press conference of the year. So, he should just stay there, and I'm sure he's trying to get another contract extension.
Knicks take on the Thunder tonight. The Nets will be in Denver on the Fan at 850. The Cavaliers win again. That's 12 straight. They're 33-4. They beat the Raptors 132-126. Darius Garland had 40. The Raptors are 8-30, and this road record, 1-17. Not good. Lakers and Hornets postponed because of what's going on in Los Angeles. College basketball number.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The greatest regular season in the NBA was Golden State back in 2015-16. They were 73-9.
Beat them by
73-9. Man, if Cleveland is able to eclipse that, that would be amazing.
Yeah, but you better win then.
You gotta make sure that your key players aren't getting injured. That's
true.
I mean, it's unbelievable that they are that good and they're playing that well.
And they're overlooked.
I mean, I don't think anybody's taking them seriously, especially in the Eastern Conference with the Knicks and the Celtics. But man, What a season.
So far, yep, through 37 games, they're about as good as it gets, no doubt. Rangers-Devils last night, and a good win for your Blue Shirts.
Back pass, Jack Hughes. Nice play by Carrick. Rangers break out Riley Smith. 2-on-1. Carrick scores! Sam Carrick wins it in overtime!
Sam Rosen on MSG, MSG 3-2. The final scores. The Blue Shirts beat the Devils in OT. Igor Shesterkin says, now that's how you do it.
We played really well in the PK tonight, so you guys did a great job. Play smart.
And the major theme listening to a lot of the post-game sound is we're starting to get back to what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, they played better in their last four games without question, but it's still too much open ice in front. And quite frankly, if you really look at that game, your top line is impossible to stay with. We don't have anybody that really can, especially our defenders, when they're going backwards. And if Jesper Bratt is coming forward, that guy is like shot out of a cannon.
Understood.
Yes.
Islanders shut out the Canucks 4-0. Brock Nelson and Bo Horvat with second period goals. Ilya Sorokin made 30 saves.
Who'd they beat?
Who? My bad. The Islanders beat the Canucks. What'd I say?
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No.
Who'd they beat?
Was it Vegas?
Yeah, Vegas Golden Knights.
No, they beat Vegas. My bad.
I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing that. My bad, man.
Yeah, I know. My bad. What are you going to do? Life sucks, doesn't it? You'll get over it.
My bad.
Yeah. Canucks, Golden Knights. I was at the rack. I was at Jersey Mike's Arena last
Who's
night,
rack?
So. No. That's not. I don't mean someone's rack. Jersey Mike's Arena. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I was at Peanut Butter Skin Stadium last night.
By the way, you got everything else correct.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Man.
So, I mean,
crap happens.
I understand.
Deal with it.
Jesus. You can't, like, fall back on, I was at the rack last night.
No, but I can fall back on.
But you got everything else right.
Yeah, no, I can fall back on. I've just clipped 73 things in the last hour. And, yeah, Canucks, Golden Knights, like anybody's paying attention. Except for the Islander fan in there who calls junior Islander games. My bad.
Thanks, Jerry.
See you next hour.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
This hits different this morning if you've been listening to the show. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this feel-good football Friday ahead of Wild Card Weekend. I got to tell you, Youssef is so dedicated to his job. I mean, if everybody cared about doing a good job as much as Youssef cares about doing a good job, I mean, we would just be in a much better place. As I ran into him, and if you have been listening this year during the picks, you know, Youssef isn't doing the picks with us because they took him out of this building. The parent company took Youssef out of this building on Fridays. He has to work somewhere else. So I run into Youssef back by the coffee, and I said, Youssef, you're here on a Friday. And he goes, yes, I just come here to make the coffee, and then I go to the other building. And I said, okay. I said, why don't you come in, say hi, and make your Wild Card Weekend picks? He goes, I'm sorry, I only have 2 minutes before I have to be there.
He was told not to do it. He had to be. He didn't tell me that. But isn't it refreshing to see Youssef in the morning?
Oh, it is. And also how I understand your take on someone telling him not to do it. But I really think that it's someone pulled him off and put him on in another building. That's for sure. I don't know if they said because they didn't want to be on the air. But I really do believe that he would have come in here if it was a different time. Because he also said to be able to do it next week.
All right. So, well, we'll see.
He's just so dedicated. He had to be there.
I know. He is dedicated, and that's why we love him. And he is
Happiest man in America.
Happiest man in America. He's a hard worker, does his job. Everything is great around us.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's one guy I can't complain about around here.
No, absolutely.
But he doesn't
not.
Work for Odyssey. He works for the building.
Yeah, he lifts up your spirits, that Youssef.
But I also think that he was getting, you know, he was becoming a celebrity, though, in that world.
What is that world?
Like the custodian celebrity. You know, he was like the
in
most
the custodial
well-known
community.
Yes, exactly.
He was becoming a star, and they
I
don't
think
like
so.
That.
I think, you know, those guys could be a little rough, a little jealous.
Yeah,
that's my take on it, but I don't know.
Well, let's go to Greg and Mayo Pack. This is an age-old question that people bring up when they root for teams out of market, like I do. What's going on, Greg?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Good.
Awesome. So I'm a diehard Detroit Lions fan, and I'm activated right now. I got the blue pants. I got the underwear, the socks, the whole thing. And I'm wondering, because the Super Bowl is priced out of the average fan's budget, if they make it to the NFC Championship, how do I not go to that game? And is it worth the risk and the money? Because the tickets, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, I think, and only you can really answer this question for yourself, but I told, before the season, I told myself, if I ever go back to Minnesota, it'll be for a home NFC Championship game, because things cannot get worse in that game for me. I've already gone through hell, so if they lose, it's like, okay, just another one of those. And if they win, I'm there for a great moment, you know, celebrating with the other fans, them winning an NFC Championship and going to the Super Bowl. So I would if I were you, especially with the fact that the organization has been down for a very long time. But you're right. Definitely forget about the price of the Super Bowl. Just don't go to the Super Bowl, because you, as an out-of-market fan, you know, you've been watching the Lions on your TV your entire life. You haven't been going to the games like Giants and Jets fans. So if they do win the Super Bowl, you want to be in the spot that you've been watching them for your entire life. But I would spend the money to go to the NFC Championship game, because that's what I said I was going to do with the Vikings, who obviously will not be hosting the NFC Championship game now. So my vote is yes, Greg.
Cool. I appreciate that, and I hope we see you guys again.
Yeah, you know, me too. I would like another crack at that, even though I'm not playing in the game, but I'd like to like to see that. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough call, man, and like everybody's financial situation is different. I would not go to the Super Bowl, though, if my team were in it. It's just such a different environment. It's hard to, I don't know, it doesn't feel real. You know, it feels like you're in the studio audience of a TV show.
The thing about it is that when you go to the home stadium of your team and they win a game like that, of that magnitude, being around all those people that have the similar feelings that you have, that's what makes that special.
Yep. Yep, that's why.
I think when you are at home watching the game, and hopefully your family around you are Lions fans, and then you could all celebrate together. But if you're by yourself, it seems like, all right, It just happened. They won. Now what? Like, being at Game 7 for the Rangers back in 94, that was an amazing feeling. That, and I had
gone. Because, you know, you live in New York. You went to games. You'd been at the Garden for the whole run. It's different when it's your team and your city.
I mean, I had Gunnar in my arms. I mean, I about crushed him. And he was getting, I was shaking the hell out of him and everything. It was just great. And yeah, that kind of thing, when you're there with your fans, like, that's why I would hate to go to a Game 7 on the road.
Oh, can't do
it. I would never want to do that.
Can't do it. Yeah, but that's the dream, is that that NFC Championship game win in your building and watching that happen, like the Giants did to the Vikings in 2014.
So let me ask you a question here.
And I went to that game on the road. We'll never do it again. Never again.
There is a chance that you guys could meet again.
Yeah, it's the most likely chance if you go by the odds.
Right. So they have to beat the Rams, obviously. And then, either the Packers or the Commanders have to win their game. And the best chance, for me anyway, between the Packers and Eagles, or Commanders and Buccaneers, would be the Commanders. And the Commanders being the 6th seed, your Vikings being the 5th seed, the Vikings then would have to go to Philadelphia, and the Commanders would end up having to go to Detroit. And then your Vikings would have to win a game in Philadelphia.
Yeah, which I don't think they are capable of, to be quite honest. And I do think that they could go into Detroit and play a better game and beat that team.
They were in that game, by the way. They were in the game.
Trust me, I know. I mean, I could rehearse almost every one of those plays within the 5-yard line in my head over and over again. So, yeah, I think you could make the case that the way Sam played in that game and how he's got that on film now and all the stuff that happened when he was on this magical run could be the best thing to happen to him, because it happened in a game, obviously, there was a ton on the line with the 1 seed, but it wasn't an elimination game. And now he's got another opportunity, because the last thing you want to do is go out like Drew Aller did last night, where you throw an interception and it's the last time you're basically on the field.
Ooh,
whereas,
a tough one. Yep.
Whereas, like, Sam's been sitting on this for a week now and thinking, thank God I got another opportunity to redeem myself. So we'll see what he's made of, man. I mean, this is it. As great as this season has been, if he goes out like a lamb here in 2 games against 2 good teams at the end of the season, I mean, it kind of is like all for naught, feels like.
You know, last night going into this game, I felt like the defensive backfields for the respective defenses in the game were better than the wide receivers in the passing games for either one of the offenses of Notre Dame and Penn State. And it kind of turned out that way until one guy slipped and all of a sudden a 54-yard touchdown pass for Riley Leonard in Notre Dame. But ultimately, the passing games weren't great last night. It was more running. It was more physical. It was two-storied franchises going toe-to-toe, and it was a nasty game, which is a great game. And this is why it turned out to be a great game. And then to have it kind of end the way that it did on an interception is just really, really unfortunate. It's like a field goal kicker missing a 27-yard field goal attempt.